God. Now continue in this fellowship with God. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. This is what follows the glorious revelation of Christ, the magnificent, the holy, the anointed one, Christ, the holy one who has redeemed you. As you recognize that, he will release in you the empowerment to produce fruit. Pomegranates are a big deal in Scripture. They come up all the time. I was reading in 1 Kings today about Solomon, you know, having carved pomegranates all through the temple in different places. And then you read in Exodus and Numbers, as all the way through Scripture, pomegranates are an interesting symbol in the Bible. When they're spies went into the promised land, they came back with fruit. In fact, it was such abundant fruit, they had to have two guys carrying it on a pole. Who knows what fruit they brought back? They brought back grapes. What else did they bring back? Pomegranates and figs. Hallelujah. Pomegranates, and they're a symbol of abundance and fruitfulness. And so that was one of the symbols of the promised land, was this abundant fruit, and pomegranates are one of those fruits. And then when you read about the clothing that the Lord had the high priest wear, on the hem of his garment, who knew what they had on the hem of the priest's garment? Ooh, there's some people here. You can call it out. Pomegranates! Seriously! They had on the bottom of the high priest's garment, they would have golden bells and pomegranates. Like, talk about ornate. And you think, that's a rather interesting hemline, pomegranates and bells. Can you picture it? Why on earth did they have pomegranates and bells? Well, in my little search and have a look at what pomegranates is all about, I had to think about this. Bells are fascinating. Bells are an announcement, aren't they? When you hear the bells ringing, it's an announcement. We ring bells, dinner's ready, or someone's been born, or a king's being crowned, or there's a wedding going on. It's an announcement. Bells on the bottom of a high priest's garment were also really important, because when they'd go behind the curtain into the Holy of Holies, the people on the outside of the curtain liked the assurance of hearing the bells ringing. Because before the sacrifice of Jesus, nobody could come into the Holy of Holies except the high priest. And only when he had been properly consecrated, when he'd gone through all the right rituals, that's all the sin had been repented of and it had all been released, and he was holy and pure in at least having been covered by the blood of sacrificed animals. But if somehow he still had some sin that hadn't been sorted out, and he went into the Holy of Holies, in the presence of God, he would die. But the problem came that if he did die while he was in there, nobody else was able to go in and get him out. So they'd wrap a cord around his leg, and if they heard the bells stop ringing, they'd talk to each other. Can you hear any bells? I can't hear any. Give it a little tug, see if there's any bells. No bells. And so they'd have to pull him out by the rope. Hallelujah. Just interesting information there. So bells tell that the high priest is alive. Hallelujah. And the bells then, each bell, each announcing bell that the king, that the high priest is alive, that was followed by fruitfulness, was followed by a pomegranate. And as I look at that, you might think, what on earth is she talking about? Well, in the Bible, everything we read has meaning. All of those symbols speak and they talk of Jesus and they talk of something greater.
And the symbol of the pomegranate being fruitfulness follows the announcement of Christ, of the high priest. Now, our high priest, Jesus Christ, as you read in Hebrews, he went into the Holy of Holies for us and he got rid of the veil. His sacrifice was so glorious and so perfect that it put an end to all sacrifices so that we'd no longer have to be afraid of coming into the Holy of Holies. When he died, the veil in the temple separating off the Holy of Holies split right down the middle. And you and I now have access through the sacrifice of Christ into the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. We can boldly come before the throne of grace. And in that place of holiness, in that place of encountering Him, God will cause us to be fruitful. Fruitfulness comes when we are beholding the one that is alive, hallelujah, having been buried with him, raised up with him, our Jesus, who is alive forevermore, empowers us to produce fruit. So let's have a look here at Colossians chapter 1. And Colossians is a fascinating book. It's a book of announcements. I think it's a book of announcements and fruit, which is fascinating. We'll pick it up here in verse 18. He is the head of his body, which is the church. Hallelujah. Do you know that having been born again, you are part of the body of Christ? I don't just get to visit the Holy of Holies. I get to live in him, in his presence. He who abides in him will produce much fruit. Hallelujah. And since he is the beginning and the firstborn heir in resurrection, he is the most exalted one, holding first place in everything. For God is satisfied to have all his fullness dwelling in Christ. And by the blood of his cross, everything in heaven and earth is brought back to himself, back to its original intent, restored to innocence again. Hooray! Hear the bells ringing, we're singing that we have been born again. Hallelujah. The glorious announcement. We have been restored to innocence by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Who has cancelled all our debt, who has taken away all our sin and our shame. We can keep reading because it's really beautiful. Verse 21, even though you were once distant from him, living in the shadows of your evil thoughts and actions, he reconnected you back to himself. He released his supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body as the sin payment on your behalf, so that you would dwell in his presence. And now there is nothing between you and Father God, for he sees you as holy, flawless, and restored. Yay! That's a good bell. That's a wonderful announcement. Wow, hooray. He sees us as holy, flawless, and restored. Do you see yourself as holy, flawless, and restored? If you are looking with the eyes of faith, believing that God is better than you feel, that he is greater than your heart, if you believe that Jesus' sacrifice has cleansed you and made you clean, changed you from the inside out, then you must agree with God that he has qualified you to be joined to him. You can't be in the Holy of Holies, let alone in the very body of the Lord himself, without perfect holiness. But you've been made holy, you've been made flawless, and you've been restored to innocence by the blood of Jesus. Do you recognize that? Holy, flawless, what? But I did that yesterday, oh man. Holy, flawless, and restored. This is the announcement Hooray! Praise the Lord. It's not just knowledge for you to know. It's an experience for you to recognize and live out. Hooray. All right, so there's the announcement. And then he goes on and says, if indeed you continue to advance in faith, for assured of a firm foundation to grow upon, never be shaken from the hope of the gospel you have believed in. And this is the glorious news I preach all over the world. Following the announcement comes the fruit. So, because you've been made holy, flawless, and restored, now continue in this fellowship with God. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. This is what follows the glorious revelation of Christ, the magnificent, the holy, the anointed one, Christ, the Holy One who has redeemed you. As you recognize that, he will release in you the empowerment to produce fruit. Hallelujah. And so as we give ourselves to thinking about this glorious message, as we abide in him, that is, as we live intentionally, as we give our thoughts, our hearts, our minds to this, Christ and him crucified. Remember, Paul said, I have determined to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. As we give ourselves intentionally to following him, to thinking about him, to talking about him, to walking in his ways, we will produce much fruit because it will come from looking at the one who has given us himself, who has given us his righteousness. The fruit of righteousness will manifest as you behold the one who makes you righteous. Hallelujah. You can skip over, and in verse 26, he says, this is a divine mystery, a secret surprise that's been concealed from the world for generations, but now it's being revealed, unfolded, and manifested for every holy believer to experience. Living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope, filled with the riches of glory for his people, and God wants everyone to know it. Like when you open up the pomegranate, you discover there's 613 little berries on the inside. Glorious, abundant fruit, a treasure chest on the inside of us, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And it's more than just an announcement about it. God wants the whole world to experience it. He wants the whole world to taste of him through you, through the fruit that comes through your life. Hallelujah. And so he wants to make you shine. He wants to make you those that are producing righteousness, peace, joy, patience, all the good fruit of the Spirit being tasted through your life. So that when people see you, when people interact with you, they're experiencing the fruit of the Spirit that comes from the glorious good news of the gospel. Hallelujah. Skipping down to chapter 2. Verse 2 says, I am contending for you that your hearts will be wrapped in the comfort of heaven and woven together into love's fabric. This will give you access to all the riches of God as you experience the revelation of God's great mystery, Christ. What gives us access to all the riches of God? Being wrapped in his comfort, being surrounded by his love. Abide in him and you will produce much fruit. Those who abide in the secret place of the Most High shall rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Those who abide in him, the vine, will produce much fruit. Those who give themselves to continually being wrapped in the comfort of God, wrapped in the love of God, will access all the riches, that is, all the fruit. All the fruit that follows the knowledge, the announcement of what's happened. Hallelujah. He doesn't want us just to be believers who believe with our heads. He wants us to be those who would experience the fruit that comes from the knowledge of salvation. Hallelujah. This is better than you're reacting. Hallelujah. when I go for a walk with the Lord and I hear his voice speak to me, you know, there's something about when you just become aware of the Lord speaking. It's like his voice makes something on the inside of me resonate. Psalms talk about the harp in my heart that sings. It's like when God makes a sound, the harp in my heart starts to resonate. Ah, that's you. I feel you. I feel the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I'm experiencing the comfort of God. He doesn't just comfort us when we're really sad. He comforts us every day. Praise God. My husband just doesn't comfort me when something terrible's happened. He comforts me by his presence every day. And God wants you to experience the comfort of his presence every day. He's got for you a wraparound embrace. He's got for you the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And with this comfort, you'll comfort many others. Hallelujah. God wants you to experience the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the wraparound comfort of God, because in that place, you have access to all the riches, all the revelation, all the wisdom, all the knowledge. It's available there. But if we just live our lives with the knowledge, okay, yeah, praise God, I'm saved, that's good, and then we don't think about him during the week, we miss out on the continual flow of the blessings and the fruit that God wants to bring through our lives. God wants us to continue in following him in faith day by day. That is, giving ourselves intentionally, not just to be believers in announcement, but believers who walk out the fruit of it. He wants us to be those who intentionally give ourselves to going and receiving the comfort of God, give ourselves to nourishing ourselves in him. It reminds me of the parable of the sower who would go out and he'd sow seed. And the seeds would sometimes fall on good ground, and sometimes they'd fall on rocky ground, sometimes they'd fall on hard ground. And not all of the seeds produced lasting fruit. But the seed that fell on good ground got nourished by the ground that it was in, and it grew up and it produced a fruit, a tree, the fruit of righteousness. In the same way, the announcement doesn't have the same effect on everybody. He waits for you to nourish that seed that's been sown by feeding on the Word of God. By every time you read it, recognizing it's nourishing those seeds, the seeds of the announcement of Christ in my heart. And that nourishment is producing growth. It's producing acceleration. It's producing more fruit. Hallelujah. Every time I read it. So when I read the Bible before I go to bed, when I read the Bible in the morning, what I'm doing is I'm nourishing the seed that has been sown. I'm nourishing the announcement, and I'm entering into the pomegranate. I'm entering into the fruit. Hallelujah. In the same way, when I share the good news of the gospel, when I become a bell and I'm sharing the good news of the gospel, I can have confidence that fruit will follow. Because his word doesn't return to him void. It accomplishes what it's sent to do. The next thing after the announcement will be the fruit. Hallelujah. So even if it takes time, be confident. This is the will of God. There will be fruit. Hallelujah. When you announce the good news of the gospel, he will cause it to bear fruit when he sends it out. Hallelujah. Just going to keep reading down here because it's just beautiful. In Colossians 2, for our spiritual wealth is in him, like hidden treasure waiting to be discovered, heaven's wisdom and endless riches of revelation knowledge. All the wisdom and the knowledge are hidden in him, and we are in him, and he is in us. This is an invitation. I can read this announcement to you, but if you'll lean into it and go, okay, Father, as I wake up this morning, I want to talk to you. I want to acknowledge your presence. I want to worship you and thank you for including me in your sacrifice. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've taken away the stain of my sin, that you've taken away all my shame, that you call me innocent and flawless. Wow, thank you, God. It's a good way to wake up. Every one of you could do that when you wake up in the morning. Father, good morning. Oh, I'm so grateful that you called me innocent and flawless in your sight because of the blood of Jesus. Because Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin so that I could become the righteousness of God in Christ. Thank you, Jesus, that I am flawless in your sight, that I am righteous. Father, thank you. And because of that righteousness, Lord, I thank you that your life is on the inside of me. And that life on the inside of me is going to flow out of me and produce much fruit. So today I'm going to lean into you. I want you to wrap your love around me. I want to lean into your comfort for me today. Speak to me as I read your word. Lead me as I pray. And as I go about my day today, Lord, help me to be aware of your presence, because in your presence, there is liberty, there is freedom, and there is much fruit. There is fullness of joy. In your presence, I am abiding. And you said those who abide in you will produce much fruit. That is, my life will manifest the fruit of patience and kindness and long-suffering. Instead of running out of patience, I'll never run out because I'm continually connected to the supply. Hallelujah. Talk about broadband, you know, like I don't just rely on a distant connection that drops out here and there. I am in him. Hallelujah. And I have continuous access and I don't have to be afraid that it's going to run out. This is an invitation that I think the Holy Spirit is wanting to re-emphasize to us right now so that we begin to understand that the Christian life isn't some massive, hard thing to attain to. It's something to yield into and to acknowledge God gives to all who will come to him. Anyone who will humble themselves and say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. By grace we are saved through faith, not of works. Hallelujah. Lest anyone should boast. We've given the faith of Christ. He gives us that magnificent gift. We don't earn the righteousness of God. We have been given it by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he has taken my sin, because he died for me, was buried and rose again, because I've put my faith in him as my Savior, I now must continue in that faith, believing I am righteous and holy and flawless in his sight. And because that's the truth, Lord, I'm going to continue walking in the faith of that reality and produce fruit in keeping with my new identity in Christ. Hallelujah. I am the redeemed. Therefore, I don't snap and yell and get angry. I don't lose my temper. Or, you know, these things are not what the fruit of the Spirit is. I have the anointing of Christ to react and to manifest him in everything I do if I learn what it looks like to live in the embrace of his comfort. So for me to do that on a practical way when I've got things to do and lots of things to look at means I have to build in disciplines into my life. That is being intentional in the morning to talk to him immediately. Just even if it's just a quick acknowledgement of God and then you get your coffee or you do whatever you need to do and then go back and sit down with the Bible and just read or pray, talk to him. Build into your life at the end of the night before you go to sleep. Be aware of him. When you have time during the day, just take a moment and just become aware of his presence. Thank you, Lord, you're with me. Turn your thoughts, turn your affections, turn your thoughts to thinking about him. Lord, you're wonderful. I'm going to remember what it feels like to abide in the embrace of your comfort. Do you remember a time where you experienced the comfort of the Holy Spirit? Few of you. Do you remember a time where you felt the embrace of his comfort. Well, in the morning when you wake up, remember that time. And you'll remember, oh, that's what it feels like. So, God, I'm leaning into you for that. Oh, thanks, God. It makes you smile. And then the next person you look at is going to experience your smile instead of your frown and your frustration. Because those who abide in him will produce fruit, will manifest what we're looking at, will manifest what we are nourishing, what we are feeding. Hallelujah. You might think, well, I don't understand the Bible. Just read it anyway and ask the Holy Spirit to feed you. Maybe you need a different version. Tom loves the New Living. I quite like it too. I steal his Bible sometimes. I don't steal it. I borrow it. Whatever it takes, get a Bible that you can read, that you can understand. What you don't understand, talk to other believers about. Ask the Holy Spirit, help me understand this. And read it in faith that every time I'm reading it, I am nourishing the announcement of Christ in me. And the follow-through is going to always be abundant fruit. Hallelujah. And the result of that is going to be abundant life. It's going to be blessing. It's going to be people experiencing the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faithfulness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all the good things. The fruit of the Spirit is going to manifest through me as I do this. God wants you to use this glorious blessing that's been given. Expect it to work in your life. I am expecting to see the fruit of the Spirit manifested. I'm expecting wisdom to flow out of me. I'm expecting the knowledge of God to manifest through me. I'm expecting the Lord to speak to me, to give me revelation of things I didn't understand. I'm expecting fruit to burst out through me. I'm expecting my prayers to be fruitful and abundant. I'm expecting every announcement I make of the goodness of God to bear great and glorious fruit. Hallelujah. And God will give you more.
Brooke is one of our monthly partners and she has an amazing testimony. Have a listen to this.
I love being a partner with Pastor Catherine and Tom because there's something powerful that happens in the spiritual realm that I don't quite understand. When you pray for someone and intercede for someone's ministry, but also financially give, you get a part of that blessing and a part of their fruit. So that's amazing. But being a part of this like Zoom meeting, being mentored by Pastor Catherine and Tom, it's not just like that they're my pastors, but they are my like a mother and father in the spirit, and they nurture us in the spirit, and they love us in the spirit. And so it's not just sitting in a Zoom meeting and learning of people that have gone before us, but it is more than that. It's like being nurtured by mothers and fathers in the spirit, and it's something very special.
We'd love you to consider becoming a monthly partner with us. We so enjoy getting together every month and hearing about what the Lord is doing.